HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to HRHQ, the podcast. I'm Andrea Hayes and today we're joined by Niamh Doran, Group HR Manager at Sims IVF. Niamh leads HR for one of Ireland's leading fertility clinic groups and has lots of practical guidance for employers on supporting employees through fertility treatment. We're talking about how HR can help staff navigate the fertility journey. And I want to start by welcoming Niamh and saying, Niamh, can you tell us a little bit about your role and how you got to be in your role at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Andrea, for having me. So I am with Sims since January of this year. And healthcare was completely new to me. I've been in HR for 8 years and recently just moved home from Toronto, Canada. So big change coming back and getting into Sims healthcare in general is a tricky environment to work in, very busy. But it's a lovely environment to work in the nature that I do, which is fertility. I say I work with absolute angels. So I'm very, very fortunate. And that really gave me my passion for fertility was working there. I was, as a lot of people, completely unaware of fertility and knowing my body and how things work. And from starting in Sims, it's just, you know, an absolute knowledge center of people who are passionate about what they do. And from the start of the employee journey, no matter what role you're in, you're brought through to the lab, you meet the doctors, you get to see how the magic happens down in the lab with making the embryos. So, you know, you're really educated on the work that Sims do. And I think that's really what sparked my passion. And that led us as a business to develop the policy handbook that we did for employers to support their staff just like we do at Sims.
And it's so important. And we're going to delve into that policy handbook. But moving back to Ireland from Canada, have you noticed maybe that employers in Ireland are more open to offering flexible schedules or time off or for fertility related medical appointments? Or do we still have a bit further to go in comparison to other people and places around the world?
Yeah, what I will say is moving back to Ireland, I feel like we're quite progressive in the workplace, which is good. I think we're a lot further along, particularly where I was in Canada, in Toronto. I think we're more employee focused and employment law here is more supportive of employees versus Canada, for example. So there is a lot of protection for employees here, but the flexibility piece is not always so welcomed in companies. And, you know, we're getting people back to the office and we're still kind of passing that hurdle. And I think that comes with its own challenges and, you know, trying to navigate the flexibility with returning to the office and how people's work schedules have changed. You know, we have excellent maternity leave policies in Ireland as a minimum standard. And I see a lot of companies offer higher than the standard that is legislative for staff. And fertility is really just the first step in that. So unfortunately, there isn't any legislation at the moment that protects employees going through a fertility journey. I know it was passed in a bill was brought forward to the Shannon in 2023 and it was passed, but it's not yet come into a law and there's no sign of when that law may necessarily come into place. And I think the suggestion was to have employers give 10 days paid leave for someone who's going through fertility treatment, and it kind of coincided with, I believe, 20 days of leave for people who've gone through a miscarriage. So we are moving in the right direction, but we're not where we need to be. And I think as employers, it starts with us and we make those changes, and usually then, you know, it has a domino effect and we see it more and more in companies' cultures through us having these discussions.
And I think, as you mentioned there, it is a liminal space. Change is in motion. Ireland has passed the Health Assisted Human Reproduction Act 2024 to regulate fertility services and expand access, but an employee in Ireland isn't required to offer time off or even the flexible scheduling for fertility-related medical appointments at the moment. Am I right in saying that at the moment they're not required to offer?
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow. Okay, so then if that's the case, then there seems to maybe be an employer policy gap in this mm-hmm. area potentially. Like, is this an area where policy can make a really big difference?
Absolutely. And again, it comes back to knowledge. So your knowledge is power. And if we don't have the knowledge, about what's involved in a fertility treatment for employees, we don't even know where to start with creating a policy. But this, to me, having gone through the extensive searches that I have on this topic, feels like the natural first step of a maternity leave policy. And it's really just supposed to be a branch on top of current policies, you know, similar to sick leave policies, about just creating flexibility for people to attend appointments. It doesn't necessarily need to be a massive impact on the business, but just giving trust a safe environment where people feel that they can have a conversation with their employer, whether it's their direct line manager, HR, they feel that they can talk to someone in confidence and then be supported by that business with flexibility around fertility policies in the workplace.
So I'm hearing, like, writing a clear fertility policy, even just a simple one, that's kind of, you know, the best practice. But how can HR teams support employers through this fertility treatment journey? And also being mindful of privacy and being sensitive as well. Like, how can they kind of navigate that space? Because maybe they're just feeling a little bit awkward even to have that conversation.
Yes. And I think as Irish people, we never pry. We never want to, you know, ask the wrong questions. But you do see in the workplace and in social groups that, you know, someone might follow the typical norm of getting married, getting their house. And the next question that either family or colleagues, someone asks them is, are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? And we don't know that that person hasn't been trying for an awfully long time to try and have a baby. So creating a safe space for people to feel comfortable to talk about these scenarios, I think, is the first step. So educating your managers and your business at a whole on fertility, and at a super high level, as in, you know, keeping things confidential, respectful conversations, but just opening up that space that there's someone that employees can talk to, whether it is their line manager, or maybe you might have a large HR team or someone appointed who can be that confidential ear to listen to. And then it will be on the HR person to navigate that with the line manager with confidence. And again, it's just coming back to trust. Not everyone will feel comfortable with their line manager. It depends on their relationship. All of them are very different. But it's about that manager's approach of giving a safe space for employees to talk about a multitude of topics, and fertility just being one of them. I think that's where I've seen the most success.
And I think, as you said there, Niamh, this is a very new and emerging area. Obviously, there's new kind of bills being signed into our kind of law at the moment. But also it's the conversation around, I suppose, fertility inclusive workplace culture, because fertility journeys can be a couple, a same-sex couple, a single person might be going through it. So it's really, really, as a business, to look at, well, what does our fertility inclusive workplace culture look like? And are we really, you know, doing as much as we can in this kind of modern age?
Exactly. It's not a one size fits all. And each individual that's going through their journey, it's very specific to them and their wants and needs that they've sought this. And it even starts right back to fertility preservation. So that's a big thing at the moment, is that we see in our clinics, younger women and younger couples are coming in to preserve their eggs, get their AMH tested, which is their blood. You get to check your hormone levels in your blood to see, it kind of gives you a range on your fertility. So people are coming more into this discovery phase of getting to understand their bodies a bit more. And those appointments will take, you know, will also need to be taken into consideration, that it's not just necessarily if you want to get pregnant, but it might also be the preservation piece. So when I started, I was completely unaware of fertility and what I wanted to do. I'm 28 now, and only from speaking to the professionals in my job, I've understood that, okay, my eggs are 28 years old. If I don't want to have children for the next few years, it might be a good idea to freeze my eggs so I have the best possible chance if I decide to have children down the line, because we're becoming more career focused. And I'm very lucky to work in a business that we are predominantly female leaders, which is a first for me. I think we see it in HR a lot, women leaders, but across my whole business, we're predominantly women. And, you know, if we didn't have the supports available to us, you wouldn't be able to, you know, have those considerations in place. So, you know, starting it back again into the knowledge and as you said, it has to be inclusive, to include young people, couples who need the support, same-sex couples. So complex. So, you know, bringing everyone into the conversation and including everyone is really important to me. I know I mentioned to you when we were chatting before we started that men are often overlooked in this process. And that's an area I'm really passionate about, because I see it a lot where men are also involved in the process, of course, whether they're with their partner or they want to get their own fertility checked, they want to be a sperm donor, whatever their situation might be. They also need flexibility in the workplace to attend appointments, and it's an incredibly emotional time for both people involved, and it's full of ups and downs, and there's no guarantees. And really, as an employer, to offer a safe space for them to feel like they're in a flexible environment. Not every day is going to be their best day because they're going through a lot at home. They might be supporting their partner through, you know, quite invasive fertility treatment, in the sense that you inject yourself at home for a number of weeks before your egg collection and before an embryo transfer. And it's a very emotional time. You know, the woman is pumped with hormones, so your partner is going to naturally want to try and support you through that. So for them to be given that space of an environment that they feel safe to have these discussions with their employer is so important for them and their mental health ultimately.
I think you've hit on so many points there that are so salient. I mean, you mentioned yourself that you're surrounded by female leaders, but I think both female leaders and indeed, you know, male leaders, all leaders or managers in a company, they have a responsibility to kind of be aware of the stigmas or the lack of awareness that play in how fertility issues are handled in work. And like that, normalize it that men will be affected by it as well. Normalize that men are brought into the conversation and really supported through the journey just as much as the female would be. And I think it's those kind of key things that employers need to be aware of. I mean, have you been aware of any kind of companies in Ireland or across the world who really have managed this very well, or who offer fertility benefits for their staff?
Yes, recently I actually learned, I did a conversation at Dublin Chambers of Women in Leadership in the Workplace, and I was alongside an amazing leader from LinkedIn, and she discussed LinkedIn's policies on fertility and how supportive they are by offering, you know, the trusting, safe environment for employees to feel comfortable to seek out fertility support. So they have a policy in place that was created for flexibility around appointments. They've gone a step further, and I believe they offer financial support with fertility treatment, which is absolutely amazing. And I know that smaller companies may not be able to offer that support, but the flexibility is the most important part, and LinkedIn really displayed that they do that well.
And it's so interesting and great to hear that LinkedIn are doing it. But if anybody's listening in, I know it's not just HR professionals who listen, a lot of employees listen. How can they advocate for themselves if their workplaces just lack clear policies around this? Perhaps they've never had a policy and they're not even having the conversation. How can you kind of bring it up to your managers to show them that this is very important, particularly for staff retention and just for the well-being of the workforce? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's absolutely not always easy to approach a manager with such a sensitive topic, but I think people being vulnerable really helps drive a conversation. And whether it's yourself who's going through something, or you might know someone who's gone through a treatment, that you can advocate for them inside or outside your workplace, as in bringing in their experience and real life examples of the impact that fertility has on employees. And, you know, if you know of places that do it well, to bring forth those ideas to whether it's your HR team, your manager, using something like our tool to has a jump off point. But I think it's just bringing awareness back to the conversation. So if someone is listening and they're passionate about it, to just, your knowledge is power, and to share it, you can't be shut down for just sharing an idea. So I think being vulnerable and speaking up for what you believe in, I think is important, and it's what started the conversation for all of us.
And I think, Niamh, what people might be surprised about is that when you start talking about this and when you share your deeply personal story, you often find that the person sitting across from you at the office or your manager, be it a man or woman, they've had personal lived experience of this as well. So it's very, very common. And the more we normalize it, talk about it, can really help. I'm just wondering, are there any legal protections currently existing in Ireland for employees undergoing fertility treatment, such as IVF or egg freezing, to kind of protect them if they're worried that, you know, will I be seen as not good at my job? Or maybe, you know, is there anything around that that you can shed some light on?
No, and that's the problem. Unfortunately, at the moment, there isn't anything that protects employees about it. So this is what kind of starts that closed off approach where they're not actually sharing treatments that they may be going to because they might be using their sick leave policy to attend appointments and just kind of have a generic workplace letter, which is what we get a lot of patients coming into us, and they'll just need a letter for their employer to say that they are at the doctor. So some of them want it on headed paper and some of them don't. So that kind of shows you that people will, they don't fall into the maternity leave policy. They kind of think that they fall into the sick leave policy, but again, your sick leave should be used for when you're not well and when you really need that time. And it's not fair that employees need to use their sick leave to attend fertility treatments, because they're losing out on one way or another, that they're eating into one policy and that they're keeping things hidden, and it's impacting their mental health, and they may not be able to show up as their best self to work that day. And that's where the worry comes in about if your performance drops, your manager might be having a conversation with you about that. And because you haven't felt comfortable to be able to speak up about what you're actually going through, there's a lot of background conversations that are happening that are naturally going to worry you. Where if we were able to foster a culture where people feel comfortable to speak to their employer about what is actually going on in their life, in that sense, that they wouldn't have those fears necessarily. And we see it, you know, like a couple of examples that we've had from patients. I'll give you one that always sticks with me, and it's my manager rolled his eyes, asking me constantly when I'll be taking a day off for my appointments, when I explained repeatedly it's dependent on my situation and my time of the month. He didn't listen. So again, that just comes back to uneducation on the topic, because if we don't know what it entails, you know, of course employers have the right to know when you're going to be absent and as much as a time frame as they can have, but each individual is different, and the response that their body has on the treatment that they're receiving really dictates when their appointments can happen. And it usually could be a couple of days notice beforehand, so it really comes back to the flexibility piece and access to information about what employees are entitled to. So I would encourage employers to have their employee handbook very accessible to employees, and if they have a fertility policy, that it's in there and that the employee can seek out that information themselves prior to a conversation with their manager, so they know their entitlements and they might feel a bit more comfortable to have that conversation.
And you're mentioning so many points there that I think are really important. Like, something is coming up for me around training managers on having sensitive conversations and training managers around the confidentiality, because this is a deeply personal thing for the employee, but it does affect their productivity, their well-being, and you really want to make sure that you're helping them manage their emotional stress around this. And, you know, if people feel supported, they tend to stay in a company, and you want that talent to be retained, and you want to really let them know, you know, you're important to us and your life and the quality of your life is important to us.
Absolutely. And I think it just shows in places that have employers that have this in place, it's a culture that they're fostering that we not only care about you, but we care about your family and your life outside of work. And the company's benefits are becoming more and more competitive in the market. You know, salaries are quite competitive. General benefits that employers have are competitive, but fertility, the likes of a fertility policy, is going to set employers apart, because there isn't as many as we would like to see with these policies in place and to support women and couples in the workplace with policies such as this. Will absolutely retain staff, And I think, you know, having the confidentiality piece in terms of training managers, absolutely, they would need to be completely trained in a topic such as this, because it is so sensitive, and who they can and can't share this information with, it if an employee has come to them to speak to them in confidence. You know, the last thing we would want to see is a manager kind of bring to the larger leadership group to say, oh, I think Niamh might go on maternity leave soon because I know she's in IVF treatment, when in theory Niamh might not ever go on maternity leave treatment, and you know, or maternity leave, because we don't know how our treatment will work out. And that's and ultimately why people need to keep this so confidential, because we don't know the outcomes. It's an incredibly stressful time. A lot of people keep this within their really, really small circle. Some people don't share it at all. It might just be the partner and themselves that are going through this, or they might be going through it on their own and have one or two people to support them. So people aren't so forthcoming with their journey. We see it more and more. I think I see on social media a lot now, people talking about their fertility journeys, which is amazing, because the more we see, the more relatable, the more people can relate to that. But at the moment, you know, people don't want someone coming up to them in the break room to say, oh, how is your IVF treatment going? And, you know, it's just, it's not the culture you want to create. So respecting the confidentiality of someone's treatment is ultimately so important, because we don't know where that future will go for them.
Absolutely. And I think that, again, comes back to the training, the awareness, and that sensitivity piece that we all have to have. So for HR managers, there's kind of a lot here, because for talent and retention, fertility treatment obviously can prompt people to stay longer. For that kind of productivity and well-being piece, you need to manage their emotional stress. And even the competitive benefits that you mentioned there, offering fertility support is increasingly seen now as kind of being part of a family-friendly benefit. What about legal and kind of that reputational risk? Is it important for HR managers to be aware of kind of the consistency of supporting people? Like, they can't be inconsistent and maybe, you know, supporting one person but not supporting the other. They really have to have that policy that's inclusive for all staff.
Absolutely. So as an employer, it shouldn't be our place to question who is availing of these policies. So certainly it needs to be really clear that it's accessible for everyone, because again, it can reach every single employee ultimately, depending on their situation and what they plan to go through. But right from donors and to people who want to start a family, preservation, it applies to everybody. So making sure it's extremely inclusive and clear that this policy applies to everyone. It's not just women. It's everyone that this could impact.
And is there any kind of practical tips you can leave us with today? Like, if somebody's listening in and going, I haven't got a policy, I haven't even read a policy, where would they start if they want to kind of take action and really be more supportive and inclusive? Maybe they can reach out to you, or is there any kind of practical tips you can leave us with?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, as a HR professional, having a bit of education yourself in terms of going onto Sims IVF website and, you know, very clear, concise information about what a fertility treatment can look like and the impacts it can have. We, of course, have our policy template there as a starting point for employers to download. It's completely free, and my contact details are there if there's any clarity needed. We've had a couple of webinars with different employers already to help them navigate, and it would be myself and one of the, either a nurse or a doctor who has a conversation with the employer, just to help them really get to that education piece. So implement a comprehensive fertility treatment policy would be my first tip. And on the back of that, to offer education and training to both employees and managers. And again, just creating an inclusive culture that's safe and respectful environment, that people feel that they can have a conversation about their personal journeys and their family status in the workplace.
And as you mentioned, this is an area that is changing. Change is in motion. But I suppose before statutory change arrives, getting those templates in place, having those conversations are so important. Niamh Doran, Group HR Manager at Sims IVF, you've been so knowledgeable. I've no doubt we'll be talking to you again, because I feel this is an area that we'll continue to expand and develop. But for now, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
hrheadquarters.ie.